Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Welcome to Storyworthy's 7th year anniversary. Can you believe it? Let me ask you something. Do you remember your first French kiss?
I was not prepared. The whole time it was happening, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm Frenching. And I was like, oh, is this supposed to be fun?
So it was kind of rough. But whose first time isn't? Did you spend time fantasizing about your future wedding?
At 14 years old, I thought, okay, I'm gonna walk down the aisle to Every Breath You Take by The Police, which, P.S., is a song about stalking. My hair will be so big and beautiful and curly. And in lieu of a bouquet of flowers, I'm gonna carry a basket of kittens.
Sounds like you really knew what you wanted.
As a teenager, you don't know shit from shinola. You don't know your ass from your elbow half the time, and you change your mind every 5 minutes.
This week on Storyworthy, actress Wendy McClendon Covey talks about the ups and downs of being a teenager and her first French kiss. It's Storyworthy's 7th anniversary, guys, and I'm so glad you're here. Stay close.
In a world where story shows come and go, Storyworthy has lasted 7 full years. This is Bill Ratner. Happy 7-year anniversary, Storyworthy.
Hey, it's Todd Glass.
I'm calling my friend Christine, because Storyworthy is having their 7th anniversary. You know what Storyworthy is?
Hey, Storyworthy fans. My name is Jackie Cation, and you're listening to Storyworthy, and it's their 7th anniversary, and who doesn't like stories?
Hi, this is Sugar Ray Leonard, wishing Storyworthy a happy 7th anniversary. 7 years. Beautiful.
Hi, this is Ed Krasnick, wishing Storyworthy a happy 7th anniversary. 7th, you give stainless steel.
Hey, Christine and Storyworthy. I'm just calling to wish you guys a happy anniversary. It's Henry Phillips, by the way, and here's to 7 more years.
Hi, this is Jennifer Valley calling to wish Storyworthy a happy 7th anniversary. Oh, by the way, 7 is the copper, so I owe you a penny.
Hi, this is Jim Coughlin. I just want to wish Storyworthy congratulations on 7 great years, and I hope we have 7 more. Wait a second, that's not enough. 10 times 7, 70 more years of Storyworthy.
Hey, it's Annabelle Gerwich wishing Storyworthy a happy 7th anniversary. Keep them coming.
Happy anniversary, Storyworthy. It's me, Grant Tobler. 7 years. That is incredible. Almost 2 Olympics.
This is David Wilde calling to say happy 7th anniversary to Storyworthy. To celebrate in true Christine style, I am riding naked on a motorcycle.
Hey, it's Matt Oswalt wishing Storyworthy a happy, happy anniversary.
Hey, Storyworthy. It's Davey Rothbart, host of the Found Podcast. Just wanted to wish you a very happy 7th anniversary. Love your show. Look forward to many more.
Hello, everybody. This is Barry Katz from Industry Standard, and I just want to wish Christine Blackburn and Storyworthy a very, very happy 7-year itch. Let me tell you something. If I had a woman like Christine Blackburn in my life, I'd never leave the house.
Hello, Christine. It's Hernan Lopez, founder of Wondery, and on behalf of all of us, I wanted to wish you a happy 7-year anniversary.
Hey, it's Wendy McClendon Covey, and you're listening to Storyworthy. Happy anniversary.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you guys from Long Beach, California. And I don't know if you've ever been to Long Beach, but I'll tell you something. The light is prettier, the air is fresher, and this is a fabulous place to be because today, you guys, you are tuned in for my 7th year anniversary. Yay! That's right, you guys, whether you've been a longtime fan of the show or you're a new listener, we are celebrating 7 years of Storyworthy. And I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with Davey Rothbart. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to Davey's story, Meeting My Wife. It was really, really a great story. And Davey, as you know, he is the founder of Found Magazine and now the Found Podcast. And he's just got a lot of really, really good stories to tell, and last week's is no exception. So go back and listen to that. But not today, because today, like I said, we're here, we're celebrating Storyworthy 7 years, and I could not be more thrilled to be sitting here with the amazing Wendy McLendon Covey from everyone's favorite television sitcom, The Goldbergs. Now, you guys, Wendy has been on the show before talking about her confusion over the birds and the bees. She was given some wrong information by her mother. And now today she's here, like I said, helping us celebrate our 7-year anniversary, and she brings forth the topic, My First French Kiss. My First French Kiss. And you know, this is a great example of a story-worthy story because everybody has this story. We all had our first French kiss. My first French kiss, I was 13. It was with Jim Murhut, and I was in eighth grade, and we were at a makeout party at Donnie Seaman's house. Oh yeah, Donnie Seaman. And basically, he just had like 5 couples over, and we all sat around on these couches. You know, Chris Zerblis, Matt Hackworth, you know the gang. And we were all hooked up. And then they kind of lowered the lights, and Peter Frampton was playing. And I was with Jim Murhut. And then, you know, we started kissing. But this was like a makeup party. So it wasn't like a, and it wasn't spin the bottle, and it wasn't 7 minutes in heaven. This was actually, we were there to make out in a group, I guess. And so when me and Jim Murhut started making out, this is what makes me laugh. It was, okay, we start French kissing, but we don't know how to do this. We don't know what we're doing. So we just put our tongues in each other's mouths. And I just remember going like, and just my tongue going around and around and around, and his tongue and going around and around. And my jaw started hurting, but we didn't dare break the embrace because then what would we do next? Like, we couldn't go from like, to like, and sit back and like look at each other or say something. Like, we didn't know, you couldn't, because we're so young, you couldn't break the kiss. So everybody just sucked face. I think that's why they call it sucking face. Because you just couldn't let go of that thing. And we did that for like 2.5 hours. And then Donnie Seaman's mom came in and turned the lights on and said, it's time to go home. And then we all left. And that was it. So that was like, I mean, you know, I'm just saying that was like, I mean, it was so specific, I remember it. So that was my first French kiss. There. Okay? Are you happy, guys? Are you happy with that? All right. That's all I have. All right, you guys, before we get to Wendy's story, you guys want to give me an anniversary gift? Do you? Yes, you do. I'm not even going to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy because you're already doing that, right? Yes, of course you are. But here's where the favor comes in. You go over to iTunes, which is now called Apple Podcasts. It's the same thing. And you give Storyworthy 5 stars and a good review. That's what I need for my anniversary gift. Would you do that? Would you do that? All right, and then why not tell somebody that you know or a loved one about Storyworthy? It's not hard because you just pick up their phone, whether it's an iPhone or an Android. It's either right there on Apple Podcasts or right there on Google Play, and you show them how to use it. You tell them that it's free. You tell them that I've been doing this for 7 years. I mean, we're not screwing around, right? This isn't a pilot. This right. is a well-moving train. This is, we're doing this, and we've been doing this for over 450 shows. So you can guarantee your friend or your loved one that you're leading them down the right path. That's my point. Yeah? All right. And then go over to storyworthypodcast.com and join my mailing list. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm not asking you anything else. We're done. And if I ever see you, I'll French kiss you. So there's that. I'm a giver. All right, you guys, she's here right now, Wendy McLendon Covey. She is an actress and a producer, and she's best known for, like I said, The Goldbergs, for which she was nominated for 2 Critics' Choice Television Awards and a Best Actress in a Comedy Series Award. And I know an Emmy Award is coming very, very soon, for sure. The unbelievable Wendy McLendon Covey was also featured in the very funny Bridesmaids movie, and also What to Expect When You're Expecting, The Single Moms Club, and the movie Blended with Drew Barrymore, which I saw on an airplane. And it's actually very good. And you play like Drew's friend. And man, Wendy McLendon Covey, you go toe-to-toe with the biggest stars in the world, man. You're right there with them. So impressive. Also, you guys, as you probably remember, Wendy played the sassy and ballsy Deputy Clementine Johnson on Reno 911. And that show has become like a classic to me. Like, Reno 911 totally holds up. We still watch it. And it's just still a really a great show. Wendy also was in the show Love Spring International, and that's another show that I've recently revisited. There are so many funny online comedies you can watch now, man. You go to YouTube, there's so much content. And if you're around and you're looking around YouTube, look up Love Spring International. This was a sitcom about a high-end dating service in Beverly Hills. And it is so funny. It's just great. All right, you guys, and you can find Wendy over on Twitter at Wendy McClendon Co. And I'm going to spell it for you because I'm a giver. It's WendiMcLendonCo, right? At Wendy McClendon Co. And also over on Instagram at Wendy, again, that's with an I, McClendon _ Covey. Yes? Yes. All right, you guys, wherever you are, please put your hands together for the lovely and talented Wendy McClendon Covey.
That was the best introduction I've ever gotten. And yes, will you kids go and support Christine Blackburn and Storyworthy? She's in the trenches bringing you entertaining content week after week. 450 episodes? Come on. Give her an amazing review, because 7 years on a podcast, that's not nothing. All right, Christine, let's get into it. So, so I told a story a couple years ago about my confusing sexual education and how I spent a lot of, way too many years just not knowing what was going on, okay? So, back in the summer before ninth grade, I met a boy. And we'll call him Bubba, because that was his name. And Bubba was someone that lived in Page, Arizona, because we used to go to Lake Powell twice every summer. We were water skiers. P.S. I hate water skiing. I hate it so much. But we went every year. I like being on the boat. I like being in nature. I like holding up the flag and pulling in the rope. But I don't like water skiing. Anyway, this kid kept riding his BMX bike past our hotel. And me and my friends, we would sit on the fence near the pool of this hotel and just let people admire us. You know, we were quite fetching creatures at 13 years old. So this guy kept riding by, and on our last night of vacation, he actually stopped by, and we had a chat, and I was giddy. This guy was hot, okay? Super hot in that Page, Arizona way. Feathered hair, vent brush in the back pocket of his Wranglers. I was smitten. At the end of our little 15-minute conversation, maybe, we exchanged addresses, and he kissed me on the lips. Not a French kiss, just a quick kiss, but that was my first kiss ever from an actual boy. And that kiss got me through the ninth grade. We became pen pals, Bubba and I. And oh, I would wait with bated breath to get those letters every week. Sometimes he would send me mixtapes. I mean, and I read between the lines of those playlists. And we were destined to be together. Now, let me just take you back again, because 13 and 14 years old, everything is super heightened emotionally. There's a lot of crying. For those of you out there listening to this and you have teenagers at home, I am so sorry, because you can't win. You just can't win. There's going to be tears, and it's going to be over nothing in particular. There's going to be door slamming, and yeah, you will have to take that door off its hinges if you want it to stop. There's going to be experimenting with makeup. There's going to be experimenting with hairstyles. There's bullying. There's crying. Everything. You just can't win, and I'm so sorry, parents. I am so sorry. And there's going to be acne. There's going to be acne, you guys, and it's going to be disgusting. But let's get back to kissing. On top of everything I just described, yeah, there's kissing on top of it. Gross. So anyway, we were very torrid pen pals. Torrid. And I saved those disgusting, stupid letters that we would write back and forth. And again, this is someone I had met for maybe 15 minutes, half an hour, one quick kiss. We were declaring our love for each other by Thanksgiving. Okay. And we were boyfriend and girlfriend in my mind. Okay. I would always tell people I had a boyfriend. His name is Bubba. We're probably going to get married. I was fantasizing about our marriage at 14 years old. I thought, okay, I'm going to walk down the aisle to Every Breath You Take by The Police, which, P.S., is a song about stalking, I think. But I didn't know that then. My hair will be so big and beautiful and curly. No one will forget it. People are going to cry just from that. And in lieu of a bouquet of flowers, a bridal bouquet, I'm going to carry a basket of kittens. Because no one's ever done it, and I love kittens. And this is really what I thought would happen. I spent so much time just listening to love songs and crying. And anyway, we had declared our love. I had pretty much told people I was going to get married to Bubba as soon as I graduated. Again, I can't state this enough. His name was Bubba, you guys. I am not making that up. Cut to the Christmas dance, junior high. Our sweaty, stinky gym was decorated in, you know, the requisite crepe paper and little twinkly lights that put you in mind of romance. Okay. Obviously, Bubba was not there. He lived in Arizona, and I was going to go, and maybe I'd slow dance with some guys, and you know, who knew what was going to happen? You know, look, I was realistic. I thought I might, you know, I can still flirt. Whatever. So I'm dancing with this guy. Someone mistletoed us. Well, I didn't know that this was something that happened. But if someone holds mistletoe over you, you are obligated to kiss. So I thought, okay, this all happened so fast. I was mistletoed with this guy, and he starts Frenching me. Frenching me. I was not prepared for this. I was not prepared. The whole time it was happening, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm Frenching. I don't even like this guy that much. I'm cheating on my fiance. It wasn't terrible, but I can't say I really understood. It just happened so fast. After that, we finished the dance, and I never spoke to that guy again, and he never spoke to me. We never looked at each other again all through high school. I wish him well. But we were just so both embarrassed over it. It happened really fast. I don't want to say I felt like I'd been raped, but I felt as though something happened that I did not authorize or hadn't really prepared myself for, and I felt really horrible about it. I felt really guilty that I had Frenched someone other than my pen pal boyfriend that I barely knew. Cut to, I graduate ninth grade. No more kissing. I finally get back to Arizona. I see Bubba. We have the makeout session that I have been dreaming about for 10 months now. And it was blissful. The next time I went to see him, we like I said, we went to Lake Powell twice a year. So we went in June and we went in July. By the time I went back in July, I had mono, and that's where the relationship ended.
Wait a minute. How did you contract mono?
You know, I don't have a good answer for that. Everybody had it. Everybody ended up getting mono. Maybe I got it from kissing my stupid boyfriend. I don't know. I don't know how I got it.
What was the guy's name at the dance? What was his name? Did you never get his name?
I don't want to say what his... Yeah, I knew the guy.
Okay.
I knew the guy. I don't want to say his name.
Okay.
All that to say...
Are you friends with him on Facebook?
No. Now... The relationship obviously went no further because where was it going to go to begin with? And I quickly...
You mean with Bubba?
With Bubba.
Right.
Okay. Now, senior year of high school, I don't know what happened to Bubba. We just sort of stopped writing and I went into high school and blah, blah, blah. you know, your feelings change, as they do, because, again, as a teenager, you don't know shit from shinola. You don't know your ass from your elbow half the time, and you change your mind every 5 minutes. But once you change your mind, you think, this is it. All right, now I know better, until the next thing comes along. But, you know, you have a lot of really strong feelings. So throw that whole thing, you know, all that teenage angst, that ninth grade angst of having this torrid pen pal, that all went away when I went to high school. I go through high school. I'm about to graduate my senior year. I'm working at Knott's Berry Farm. Who shows up to buy a souvenir in my line, in my gift shop? Bubba. And he had a mullet, Christine.
Wow.
He had a mullet and really dumb sunglasses on with a hot pink leash on the sunglasses. And I thought, what the hell was I thinking? But he remembered me. And I was like, yeah, there you are. I didn't even want to talk to him. This is someone that I envisioned marrying.
And it was only like 3 years previous.
It was only 3 years previous. And he was like, oh, well, come out and talk to me on your break. Do I have to? Like, I couldn't be more embarrassed that I ever had any feelings for this person. But back to the French kissing. French kissing with someone who has braces is so foul. So foul. I had a boyfriend in high school who had braces, and damn, if he wasn't always eating something and always wanted to be making out. It was like, this is disgusting. I don't even like you. Like, kissing with him was so gross, but I felt like I needed a boyfriend. Like, I needed to have that socially, and he was kind of popular, but he was gross, and I get skeeved out to this day, thinking about all the makeout sessions we had and how torn up my face got because of those damn braces and my neck. And I was like, oh, is this supposed to be fun? I really could do without this. I really could do without you, but I can't, you know, socially, I didn't think it was the right thing to do. But speaking to your makeout party, I've never been to one of those, and I can't, that is the closest thing to, like, an orgy that you're going to have.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't know me that well.
Well,
but
no. Okay. Well, I mean, at a certain age, hopefully, but I love that the mom came in and turned on the lights and said, okay, you all have to go home. But prior to that, she knew it was a makeout party, right?
I think she did, because she heard the Kansas and REO Speedwagon.
Kansas, yes.
And, you know, when you put that music on, you know, this is what's going to happen. Air Supply.
Yeah, what else is supposed to happen? You're not going to just start skating backwards. No, it's a makeout party.
Okay.
I mean, I just think that's hysterical.
So you've never seen Bubba again. That was it at Knott's Berry Farm.
No, in fact, I've tried to look him up on the social interwebs.
Right.
And I can't find him. Oh, another thing. He told me that when I saw him at Knott's Berry Farm, he's like, yeah, I've been seeing a therapist because I had like a thing with some girl. And basically it wasn't statutory rape, Christine, because he was also underage, but there was an issue of consent. So I'm not Mrs. Bubba. And I didn't give it all up and move to Page, Arizona. I think I've made better choices. I think it seems to be working out. But see, that's, your kids are going to tell you weird things, and they're going to speak in such definite terms. Just write it out. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to scream at them. You don't have to tell them they're stupid. They're going to figure it out.
Listen, I have to tell you, you know, from watching the Goldbergs, and, you know, it's essentially, I'm literally watching my childhood when I watch that show, and I'm sure it's like that for you, you're in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you ever make a suggestion, or do you ever, like, when you see the script, you're like, oh my God, that totally happened to me, or I remember that encounter.
Yeah. We had an episode in season one about Daddy-Daughter Day.
Sure.
And that's something that I just... The minute I started growing boobs, my dad sort of backed off. Like, I don't know you anymore.
Yeah.
This was in third grade when I started getting boobs. So my dad was just uncomfortable with girl stuff, and I get it. So we played into that. I told Adam all my experiences of, like, my dad just being skeeved out by girl talk. Like, your mother bought you tampons? I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
That better not have touched the food. Okay? Wait, why are you listening to that music and crying? Go outside.
Yeah.
Just go outside. Do anything other than what you're doing. So a lot of that stuff, you know, and my mom always being afraid that I was doing something that I didn't even really know what it was. Like
mom, French kissing.
Like French kissing or having sex or you know, getting in the back seat of a car. Like, I never knew what was supposed to happen in the back seat. More kissing? What?
Yeah.
What are you so afraid
of? It's really tricky because, okay, my daughter's 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going to say, like, when we watch the Goldbergs together, it's like, it's honestly, I mean, I'm a very good mom, but it is hard to have these conversations. So when we watch that show specifically, it brings up stuff like the Risky Business Party episode and these different, you know, and so she's seeing it and I'm laughing and it's like, Alabama, that's exactly the way it is. And so that's almost like a conduit for good conversation with your kids if you watch the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
Because also, it brings it out into the open.
Yeah. And also to say, see what they're doing?
Yeah.
I also did that.
Yeah.
So when you try to do it, don't think you're the first person to try that.
Right.
Lying about having a party.
Yeah, but it's still hard to say to Alabama, and I do, I have many conversations with her. Like, I'm not trying to have one big, heavy conversation with her.
Yeah.
I try to bring it up daily, you know, different little things in life, but I haven't brought up French kissing. I'm not sure how to say that. What would I say? I say what?
I don't know either, because... my parents never said, oh, something's going to happen. And
so what would you say? I know you don't have kids.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how I found. I mean, you know what? How I found out about French kissing? Some kid on a playground told me about it. That had to have been it.
You shove your tongue in their mouth and they put their tongue in your mouth.
Yes. In fact, there was a book that you could buy from the back of Teen Magazine called How to Kiss with Confidence, with these two young lovers named Sandy and Randy or some bullshit like that. Two preppy idiots who had taken many, many pictures of themselves kissing, and it gave step-by-step instructions. So my sister and I, we sent away for that book and got it, and luckily my mom never knew we had it, but we're devouring this book like this is very important information, and one day we are going to be called upon to know this.
So that was nice that you had your sister. Shelley is her name?
Yes.
So the two of you had each other.
Yeah.
And you're older or she's older?
I'm older.
So you two had like a little thing together where you could maybe explore this stuff.
Yeah.
Was it Tiger Beat? Or was it Teen Beat?
It was Teen Magazine that had... See, Tiger Beat just gave you all the eye candy and the posters.
Yeah, it was just like Scott Baio.
Teen Magazine was like, okay, if you really want to know what's going
on.
Information about what eyeshadow to wear and how to kiss... You're going to, you know.
Do you remember who was on the cover of that one?
There was a model that was very popular, a teen model named Catherine Gilmore.
Interesting.
And she was like the teen model face of the 80s. I'll never forget her because I thought, oh my God.
Wasn't like Cindy Crawford, wasn't that?
It wasn't.
Or Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields was one, but Cindy Crawford was more late 80s. This was like early 80s.
Yeah.
With like Lisa Welchel.
Oh yeah, sure. From Facts of Life.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
She was so hot.
So beautiful.
Still gorgeous lady.
Still beautiful, yeah.
And guess what? She was probably French kissing.
Yeah. Sometimes. I think they did that on Facts of Life.
They
Tootie's a whore. That's what I hear. Now listen, did you grow up religious or not?
Very religious. Christian. Yes.
And so was this part of your fear in terms of, you know, being afraid about what was going to happen or?
We were super religious and that's where the fear of anything sexual came in. But I thought, like, oh, just marathon makeout sessions. That's all anybody really does.
That's what I thought. I thought that was the end all. Right. I thought it was just about and then your mouth hurting and I'd get like a little rash around my mouth. But I didn't know there were more steps.
Yeah. I thought, oh, that's all anybody does as a teenager. And these girls that are getting pregnant, I really don't know how they're getting to that point. Like, because I, you know, we used to watch Happy Days and they'd go to Inspiration
Absolutely.
Point. And that's all I thought they were doing on Inspiration
Forget it.
Point.
Well, that's all they did.
Out.
It was all making
that's
out.
That's all they showed.
You know what's so funny? That was like my go-to show growing up. And I had a journal and I would write in my journal. And I, and if you look back in my journal, I've written down stuff about Henry Winkler probably 20 times. Like, I love Henry Winkler so much. And if you look at that show, though, now, he was such a pig. I mean, it was so gross.
Gosh.
He would snap his finger and then these women would come and hang on him.
Yeah.
Like, it was also, I don't mean to say the word racist, but that whole show was very chauvinist.
Very misogynistic.
Misogynistic.
And
there
girls
you go.
Are so stupid. You just snap and they run giggling.
Yeah.
And they don't even care that there are legions of them. Like, whatever. As long as I can be Miss Tuesday.
Right. And Henry Winkler would have two girlfriends or three girlfriends and a book, and everybody was like, oh, that's just Fonzie.
Exactly. And they're all just making out together in a big pile.
Right.
It's Fonzie.
But
and you're lucky to be there.
Nobody ever got pregnant.
Never.
Nobody
Never.
Got pregnant. Leather Tuscadero didn't even get pregnant. Pinky Tuscadero.
Pinky Tuscadero didn't get pregnant. And oh, how I wanted to be Pinky Tuscadero.
T-U-S-C-A-D-E-R-O. That's what she said. She said, and I am the best.
And she
that was a great show.
She had pink boots.
And she had pink boots. All right,
yeah.
So when you were on the dance floor real quick with that guy again, mm-hmm. did you put your tongue in his mouth as well, or did he just put his tongue
in
your mouth?
I did, and it was like a little oral sword fight.
Ooh.
You know?
And did you know, you knew then to put your tongue back?
I thought, gosh, I hope I'm doing this right.
Yeah.
I really didn't know.
Yeah.
But I felt like, well, he can't just do that. Like, I gotta...
The first time you kissed your husband, Greg,
That
was just like, do you remember that kiss?
Yes.
And what was that kiss?
I was very brazen, and he was dropping me off after a date, and I said, okay, give me a kiss.
And
he kissed me.
No. It was a French kiss.
It was I macked.
Did you say,
look? I just went there.
Look what Bubba taught me.
Yeah.
Let me show you what I know.
I always roll the credits after I stick my tongue in someone's mouth and I say, you can thank my ninth grade pen pal for this.
Listen, there's a few other moments I want to tell you on the Goldbergs that I just can't get past. When you guys play, the soundtrack is just unbelievable. Again, straight
Thank
from my
you.
Childhood. And when you guys play a lot of the music from Chicago and you sing to one another, I mean, and Alabama looks at me, she goes, Mama, you're crying again. And it's like that show, it brings me to cracking up laughing to tears.
Oh, God. Well, first of all, Chicago brings me to tears.
I know.
Hard to say I'm sorry.
I know.
I can't be anywhere and not start crying when that song plays. It's
Except
just too full of emotions for
is.
Me.
It is. And now what I hear your version when you say, hold me, Shmoo.
Yes.
I hear you singing
with
it.
With the voice cracking and like... because again, that's the mother daughter thing.
Touching.
You just apologize a lot. That you fight and apologize, and you fight and apologize, and it's so hard.
And I do that with my 10-year-old, and I only have the one child. And when I watch the Goldbergs, I see the character of Beverly Goldberg just trying to hold on to that little one.
Yeah.
Like you're done with the older kids. It's not going to happen, but you hold on to that little Adam, and every parent feels that.
Yeah,
it's very truthful.
Oh,
so
I,
let me
I'm
ask
glad
you.
To hear that. Thank
you live
you.
Down here in Long mm-hmm. Beach, of course. You shoot up in L.A. in Culver mm-hmm. City. Are you going to get to the point, or are you at the point where you get a driver, or somebody's taking you up there?
You know, I don't like being driven.
Okay, now listen. Yeah. Kelsey Grammer used to copter in to Paramount from Malibu. Could you copter?
Yeah. Well, listen. Kelsey Grammer has to do what's right for him. I don't mind the drive anymore. Because as long as I have a good podcast to listen to.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you listen to podcasts
and stuff? I get thoroughly entertained.
There is plenty to do.
My decompression
session,
you know, when I'm driving home, and I love it.
But would you be able to decompress better if you were in the backseat of a town car?
No, I'd get car sick.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
I like to be in control.
Okay.
And if I want to start singing at the top of my lungs or talking on the phone or whatever, I don't want someone there.
I understand.
To be, yeah, I don't mind the drive. And again, look, it takes longer, in my opinion, to get from Santa Monica to Hollywood.
Yeah, absolutely. And you
any time after 1 p.m.
Yeah, if you get in your headspace about traffic in general, then you're all right.
Then you'll leave California altogether.
Yeah, well, you'll lose your mind if you really... But if you get into it, in other words, if you already have your day planned, like, okay, it's going to take me an hour to get there, and then da-da-da, and an hour to get back, and then you have it all, you know. And it's not like you're working on Christmas.
No.
And you're not working
not
on most weekends.
I have the best job in the world.
Yeah, you
do. I have
do.
The
right.
best job in the world.
And you know that, and you appreciate that.
No, so Sony has a nice gym. I'll go to the gym.
Oh, wonderful.
During peak traffic hours.
Culver City's really happening
Culver's
now, too.
Culver's great.
It's
my
like
God.
A hip
yeah.
and hip place, no doubt about it.
If there's a Target nearby, I'm always entertained.
Oh, yeah, and there is there on La Cienega. Mm-hmm. You can just shoot down there by the See's Candy is right over there, too. So there's that.
Yeah.
Now listen, is sitcom your favorite form of comedy, or would you rather be doing films? I mean, of course you're doing both, which is wonderful, but if you really could choose, would you rather be on the big screen?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. I love doing movies, but I haven't read anything good in a long time.
Interesting.
So I love doing movies. The pace is so deadly slow that it's a little aggravating, because you want to know. Sitcoms, you get immediate gratification.
It's like doing a play.
Yeah.
And
especially if you're doing it live, you get to feel the audience's reaction.
The Goldbergs is not
the
live.
The Goldbergs is not live, but thanks to live tweeting, which is how everybody watches TV now, you do get instant feedback.
That's
so it's
fun.
Great. And TV across the board is a really good place to be right now, because there's streaming, there's cable, there's network. So there's something for everyone. There are tons of jobs available, and really good stories are being told.
Yeah.
I don't know why films haven't caught up.
That's so interesting. So basically you're saying, because everybody's got their phone on them, you can watch all this content.
Yeah.
But you're not finding good film scripts.
No,
interesting.
I am not.
And I'm
reading the same crap over and over. Or if I read something good, and I've been up for a couple things this year, and funding has been pulled, or dates have been pushed back. I'm doing a movie this summer that I read for 4 years ago.
Wow. That is so interesting. Yeah. And everybody out there listening who's in this rat race of Hollywood and who's out there, you know, hustling every day, at every level in the business, there are problems, there are difficulties, because obviously it takes so many people to make these things happen.
Yeah.
So anything can happen at any stage in the game that just has nothing to do with you.
Most of the time it has nothing to do with you.
Right.
You know? Just know that if you have talent, you will work. It might not be on your timetable.
Right.
And you might have to work side jobs. But an actor acts. An actor doesn't necessarily get paid.
And you really do have to go out and create your own stuff.
You
whether people are watching it or not. If that's what you say you like to do, then you should be doing it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be a great tennis player if you don't play tennis.
Exactly. You can't just wait around for, you know, opportunities to show up. No one's going to feature you the way you feature yourself.
Right.
And there's really no excuse right now. I'm involved with an organization called Right Girl.
I love Right Girl.
Right
and
Girl
I think
is
that is so wonderful.
Best.
So there's younger women between the ages of what, like 12 and 25?
Like, I think it's 13 to 18.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's a writing program that really empowers these young girls and teaches them how to express themselves. And if you can express yourself through the written word, you're going to have to do that in any job, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
But it really gives these girls an outlet to build their confidence in something.
Right.
And so I go every year to their big fundraiser, and I read these comedy sketches that they write. And I'm sorry, some of these girls...
Funny.
Are... I hope they remember me when they get famous, yeah. And you know, I hope they hire
probably
me for something.
Probably because they're writing in the moment of their life, and they're right there. It's at their fingertips. Yeah. Like the shit's going down as they're living it.
Exactly. And they're
that
not
so
censoring
brilliant.
Themselves. They
right.
haven't learned how to censor themselves. They don't have someone in their ear saying, oh,
that's not funny.
I remember that from such and such. Or, and that's not funny.
That's been done.
No,
yeah.
You know what?
It's
shut
pure.
Up. Yeah,
it's pure.
It's just pure.
Isn't that beautiful?
So, where was I going with that?
Well, just that you do
so
your own
some
thing.
Of these girls, yeah, they know to create their own stuff. I met a girl who has her own podcast.
Yeah.
Her own social media following is amazing. She wrote a sketch. She wrote a monologue that I did, and I was like, hats off, sister. This
you
is seriously
it?
Good. Yeah.
Did she? Was she so thrilled?
She
wow.
was thrilled, but it's like, she's already such a brilliant little lady. I feel like you've been here on the planet before. No one at that age is
well, her parents. Maybe her parents.
Maybe
are,
her parents are just like uber supportive. I don't know. But she, for someone that young, she has got it
that's
figured
brilliant.
Out and
that's
dialed
so
in.
That's so beautiful.
And but again, if this girl at 17 is building her own following just from her own bedroom.
Right.
Well, what can you do as an adult?
Right. You're 35 years old.
Who can drive a car.
Sitting around pissed
off. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, well, listen, it's so beautiful that you pay it forward, you know, Wendy, because they look at you, they see your success, and then you go and you're with them and you're on their page. I think that's so beautiful.
Oh, God. Listen, if I had that when I was a teenager.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, I know.
You know what that would have done for my self-esteem? To
I
have
know.
Someone,
it's so true.
You know, encouraging me like that. And I mean, major screenwriters come and mentor these girls and TV writers. And so people who are successful are coming in and teaching these girls. Yeah. It's got to come from you.
I think the world is a smaller place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of social media and everything that we can all get a little closer. So now it is easier to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And the generations are changing. So obviously, I guess it's cumulative of everything. And now we all do need to come together because now we're fighting totalitarian government.
Yeah.
And it's getting scary. So we need to all get our shit together and work together and not apart.
Yes.
Yes?
And I think people, for the most part, do want to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of sociopath, when something is right in front of them, is not going to be helpful?
Well, I know a few narcissistic people in my life who don't want to give back because it's about them. And so they don't have that empathy, and they also don't show gratefulness. So
that's
I think
sick.
It makes them lonely.
Yeah.
I know, and I think it makes them lonely.
That's really sick.
There are people that are like that. But I think you're doing it the right way, for sure. And let me ask you one more question. I got to wrap this up. But I want to know, you've worked with some of the best people in the world. I mean, Jane Lynch, Jennifer Coolidge, Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph, Rebel Wilson, Rose Byrne. I mean, these people are just... Okay, what about these names? Have you ever worked with Jane Fonda?
I have not worked with her. I did meet her once.
I would love to
meet
her.
And I have such a respect for her. And again, she's still so misunderstood from her, you know...
Her activism 50 years ago.
Years ago. I would encourage those people to really read her books.
Yeah.
Because this is not a stupid woman.
Oh,
and
no.
She does more for veterans than I think people understand.
Yeah.
And she took so much of her money. She could be living, she could be on Easy Street right
now. Of course.
I mean, shit, she could have taken Ted Turner to the cleaners, and she didn't.
Wow. You know, I forgot all about that she was married to him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that money.
She could have taken everything. She didn't.
Wow.
And she remains friends with him, and she does a lot for, what does she have? The Georgia or Atlanta, something for teen pregnancy prevention.
Wonderful.
And it has yielded results.
Yeah, so she
Give
has a cause.
Give people something to look forward to, and they don't go, you know, fucking around and making bad
up.
Decisions.
And French kissing.
And they don't French kiss the wrong people.
No, it is true, though. Okay. If you keep, that's my plan with Alabama. If I keep her busy, I feel like that'll get her through. I mean, you know, the open conversation and also keeping her busy. Because when I was a kid and, you know, in my generation, a lot of us were latchkey kids and like nobody had any idea what was going on between 3 and 6 every day.
Oh,
nobody had any idea. And so and again, I think keeping them busy is good.
If you build her self-esteem up to where she has something of her own to look forward to,
right.
She's not going to waste her time
right.
with some stupid
idiot
kid.
From your mouth
you know
to God's
I mean?
Ears. Yeah, and like, I'm going to tell him, French yeah. kissing isn't everything it's you know,
no,
made out to be.
No, it is not. If you want to taste what Oxy-10 tastes like, yeah, just go mac on some... ugly kid
hey,
between 3 and 6. See
you,
how good you feel.
Have you worked with Lily Tomlin?
I have not worked with her, but I did a reading with her for a fundraiser for Emily's List. We read 9 to 5.
Oh, wow. Fun.
And I got to read Jane Fonda's part and sit next to Lily Tomlin. And I told her, I gushed over her, but listen, she hears that all the time. She knows she's
have
amazing.
Have you seen Grace and Frankie? Is it
yes.
Grace and Frankie
yeah,
or Frankie
Grace
and Frankie?
Frankie. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
Frankie
yeah.
and Grace. Which is it?
Grace and Frankie.
That's
yeah.
a great show
yeah.
as well.
It is a great show. And I like to cite that as proof that, you know, the industry is changing.
Yeah, and there are funny ladies out there for
and
sure.
Over a certain age.
I would
and
say. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I turned 50 recently. Then I turned 51.
Uh-huh.
And it just keeps happening. So really, our options are limited.
Well, here's the thing. That is what is supposed to happen.
Yeah, I want to be 53.
Yeah.
I also want to be 58.
Yeah, I
want also
to be
like 65. Yeah,
you know,
I'd like to go to 85, and then
yeah.
I think I'm pretty much. I
okay.
We'll see where we're at, but
yeah.
I don't want to be the last one standing. I get,
right.
you know, I think about my dad would show me old pictures, and he'd say, "Look at this, honey. Dead, 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 dead."
Wow.
You know, pointing at the people, and I think like, shit. I don't want to be the last one standing.
But you do if you're surrounded by other people who aren't in the picture. You know,
yeah.
like if you've got friends and meaningful work and, you know, stuff to do. I just don't want to outlive my money, and I don't want to be trapped in my body, like not able to walk well and not able to see
oh,
and
for
stuff
sure.
like that.
Oh, for sure. Well, you're very healthy though. You have a very healthy lifestyle, don't you?
I think so, but
yeah.
you know, you never know what's going to
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, but you know, it's all about, people say to me, you know, you don't look like you're 51 or whatever, and then how do you do it? Do what? It's called diet and exercise.
Yeah, it's called wear your sunscreen, drink some water.
That's it. It's not really that hard.
Yeah, get out and move once in a while.
Yeah, I didn't invent
and spend
this.
Thousands of dollars on plastic surgery.
Yes,
that's all you have
at the
to
end
do,
of
you
the
guys.
Day. Exactly. It's called
yeah.
Botox.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much again, Wendy. I
thank
can't.
You.
I really appreciate you allowing me to come down and
happy
record with you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank
Christine.
You. It's really exciting. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank you all so much for not only tuning in today, but for tuning in over the last 7 years, for introducing the show to new people. And just for being there for me, because I tell you guys, if I didn't know there was an audience out there, well, I'd probably still be doing this. But the point is, you are there, and I appreciate it. Why not tweet Wendy over on Twitter and let her know that you liked her story about French kissing? And that, again, is at Wendy McClendon Co. And as always, follow me over there as well, at Storyworthy. And why not shoot me an email? I respond to every email. That's info@storyworthypodcast.com. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a story by my dear friend, Hannes Finney.
I got one of those phone calls last year. You know the kind of phone call I mean, the bad news phone call. Of course, I thought I was completely prepared. But as usual, I was full of shit.
Don't miss Hannes Finney next week on Storyworthy. All right, you guys, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and Jeffrey Glazer. And one more time, on behalf of the very talented Wendy McClendon Puppy, thank you, friend. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.